Let the church say amen. I mean, you know, when praises go up, God's blessings do come down. I'm a big believer that God inhabits the praises of his people. So if you really want to change in your situation, I just dare you to praise him. Amen. I dare you to just lift up a banner of praise. God is looking for some folk who ought to praise him in the good times and praise him in the bad times. I won't say it's easy to praise him in the good times, but it's harder to praise him in the bad times. Amen. But if you train your spirit just to give God a praise, no matter what situation you find yourself in, I'm a big believer that God really honors that kind of praise. Amen. Won't you stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus, the 9th chapter. And there should be a Bible in front of your pew if you don't have one. If you happen to don't have one in front of your pew, look on with a neighbor. And if you don't happen to, a neighbor doesn't have one, say, Lord, help us to bring a Bible next week. Amen. Leviticus chapter number 9. I'm not going to read all 24 verses for you. I encourage you to read the entirety of the text, but I'm going to read some excerpts from this 9th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Starting in verse number 1, the Bible reads, say amen, we've located the text. The Bible reads, it came to pass on the 8th day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord. Skip down to verse number 5. And so they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you. And Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement. Someone say atonement. For yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Skip down to verse 22. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on today's, the title of today's sermon, Burn, Baby, Burn. Burn, baby, burn. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will indeed be acceptable in your eyesight. For Lord, we believe and we know that you are our strength and you are our redeemer. We ask, O God, that you would have your way now. Touch everybody, save somebody. I pray that the glory of the Lord will continue to fill this tabernacle, that the anointing of the Most High God would touch everyone in this place, and that we all would conclude when we leave here today that it was good to be in the house of the Lord on this Lord's day. We love you, Lord. We give you glory, praise, and honor. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, and God keep you is our prayer. Ushers, we invite you to take your seat at this time. Many of you will undoubtedly recognize this sermon title because I have used it many times over these last 20 years now that I've been preaching at the Shiloh Church. 1997 was the first sermon I ever gave here. And so in many respects, I've been the pastor here for 17 years, but I really count this as my 20th year anniversary at Shiloh. And in those 20 years, some sermon titles get recycled. And this is one of those sermon titles that has gotten recycled because it is appropriate in my mind to speak about things concerning the Holy Spirit. And if you know anything about the third person of the Trinity, you should know that the Holy Spirit is represented in Scripture, particularly in the New Testament, as fire. One only has to look at Acts chapter 2 to learn that at the core of Pentecost is this term fire. It is the image of fire that we see when the Bible says that a mighty rushing wind blew into that upper room. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that fire, tongues of fire, set upon the heads of the people who were assembled in that upper room, men and women. Amen, somebody. Amen. And so the Spirit is no respecter of persons in this respect. That the fire of God touched equally all of those who assembled in that upper room. And the Bible goes on to say in Acts chapter 2 that they began to speak with a tongue that was not theirs. And so the Grecians began to speak Spanish. The Italians began to speak another language. The Portuguese and whoever else was assembled, the Syrians, whoever else were assembled in that place, began to speak in a tongue that was not theirs. That's a fascinating image of the Holy Spirit, that not only does the fire appear in the place, but the fire causes the glory of the Lord causes, can I help someone today? The Spirit of the Lord causes things to happen both in the natural and in the supernatural. Not only is fire represented in the New Testament, by the Holy Spirit is represented in the New Testament by fire, but I would imagine that one can see that even though we don't look at the third person of the Trinity in the Old Testament, we do see that fire from God is a prevalent image in the Old Testament too. Well, preacher, why do you say that? Well, I say that because one only has to look at the start of the story of Israel and their journey through the wilderness. The Bible says they were led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. One only has to go a little bit further, and one can see Elijah when he was doing battle against the gods of Baal. And the Bible says that the fire of God consumed what the other gods had presented before the prophet. One only has to look at when the man of God, Elijah, was at the end of his life, and there was a transition going on between Elijah the elder and Elisha the younger. The Bible says that a chariot of fire came down and swooped Elijah up. and translated him into the heavens. Come on, somebody. One has to go a little bit further in the story of the book of Daniel, that when the king threw Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael into the fire, that the Bible says that the king looked in. He says, I threw three in, but I'm looking and my eyes are mistaking me because I'm looking at a fourth person in the fire. You see, not only does God represent in the forth by the fire, but when the fire is trying to consume the people of God, God will step into the fire. He may not always take you out of the fire, but he will step into the fire. I don't know about you, but I'm just grateful to God because I have a God that will protect me from the fire and by stepping into the fire to shield me from my heartache and my headache. Come on, somebody. We serve an awesome God. Not only do we see fire represented in these texts, we also see the Bible says in Jeremiah that I knew you in your mother's womb. I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. And the Bible says that when Jeremiah grew up, Jeremiah understood that he has something deep down in his bosom. Jeremiah said, it's like fire. It won't leave me alone. I don't know about you, but I've come to the conclusion that whenever I see fire, both in the Old and in the New Testament, I gotta pay attention, because the fire of God means that the presence of God is about to move. And when the presence of God is about to move, something is about to happen. I don't know about you, but when I see the fire, I am convinced that God is about to do something. It brings me to my hypothesis for today's sermon. My hypothesis for today's sermon is that in order to accomplish what God's will is in and for your life, that you must have an authentic encounter with God's fire. Can I help someone today? You will not be who God wants you to be if you have not encountered God's fire. You will not go where God wants you to go if you have not encountered God's fire. You will not be able to do what you want, what God has ordained you to do, if you have not had an authentic encounter with God's fire. And if I can just take an ecclesiastical leap and say that God's fire represents the Holy Ghost, and I can't do what God wants me to do unless I have the Holy Ghost, I need somebody here to say, I need God's fire in order for me to do the things that God has ordained for me to do. Come on, someone. And so it is in this vein that I submit to you this hypothesis that I believe is proven to be true in today's text. Today's text is about Moses leading God's people onto the promised land. It is in this text that we see the inauguration of what's called the Aaronic priesthood. Those men, descendants of Aaron, who have been elevated and called out to minister the works of God. In point of fact, of the 12 tribes, 11 of them got land. One of them did not get land, the tribe of Levi, the descendants of the priesthood. And it is these sons of Aaron, these priests, if you would, whose job it was to go around while the people were working their land to remind them that God is able to provide for them and meet their needs according to their riches and glory. That is the job of the priesthood. That while you're working your land, I need to come around and remind you that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you ever could imagine, ask or think. Just when you're about to give up the fight, I need to come on and remind you that we serve a God who can do everything but fail. Just when you're about to throw in the towel, I need to come by your side and shake you a little bit and say, don't forget who you are and whose you are and what God has done for you in your life. If he did it before, don't you know he can do it again and again and again and again? It is the job of the priest to not only administer the sacramental theology to make atonement for the people, but the job of the priest is to remind the people that there is a God somewhere. And that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so it is that I believe that in the text, Aaron and Moses shows us three things that I hope will help you and has already helped me in my Christian growth, maturation, and development. Number one, if I'm going to achieve the things that God has ordained for my life, I've got to be in attunement with God. Number one, two, if I'm going to achieve the things that God has ordained for my life, not only must I be in attunement with God, but I must be at one ment with God. I must have atonement in my life. In order for me to, and if I am attuned with God and atoned by God's people or by God's grace and mercy, then I will be astonished by what God does in my life. Come on, somebody. But if I can just say it backwards, no astonishment if there is no attunement. No astonishment if there's no atonement. But if I've got attunement and I've got atonement, then I believe that God will astonish me. What do I mean by astonish? I mean that God will blow my mind. Moses. The Bible says, and let me just jump right on in. The first word of attunement is not a legal word. It is not a political word. It is a religious, spiritual, ecclesiastical word. Excuse me. Not attunement. I was getting ahead of myself, jumping to atonement. But attunement is a clinical word. Attunement is a word that often gets used in a clinical, psychological context with attachment. That when a woman is pregnant, she needs to understand that her baby is attuning to her mindset and her mentality. What does that mean? It means that even though the baby has not yet come through the womb and been born into this world, the baby is listening and attuning and reconciling and getting on the same wavelength as the mother that's carrying the child in her womb. If the mother thinks negative, then the baby has a chance of being affected and impacted by her negativity. But if the mother thinks soothing thoughts and comforting thoughts, then the baby inside of her womb will attune to what goes on in by the mother. And not only have psychologists and clinicians proven this to be true on the inside of the womb, but once the baby comes out, the research tells us that a baby is looking at his or her mother. mother and attuning to his or her mother, and whatever frequency that mother is on is going to affect the baby. Can I help somebody? If the mother is dysregulated, then the child will be dysregulated. But if the mother is at peace, the child will be at peace. Come on, somebody. That means that while you are pregnant with what God has put inside of you, you need to make sure that you are attuning to the positive things and not the negative things. Y'all missed the point. I just jumped from biology to spirituality. See, all of us can be pregnant with a blessing from God, with a vision from God. And I just made up in my mind that while I'm pregnant with the things of God, I'm not going to hang around negativity. I'm not going to hang around pessimism. I'm not going to hang around downtroddenness. I'm going to lift up my head because I believe that God has a blessing waiting for me. Somebody say, get rid of the negativity in your life. Yeah. Because you will attune to that which you allow to invade your personal space. Grandmama said, birds of a feather flock together. Grandmama used to say, if you want to go somewhere, get with people who are going somewhere. Grandmama used to intimate that if you want to be a chicken, then walk around with chickens. But if you want to be an eagle, get around some eagles who know how to spread their wings and fly. You will attune to that which is around you. You will get on the frequency of that which you give attention to. Some folks say that which you look at will grow. Can I say that again? That to which you give attention will grow. If you give attention to the negative, don't be surprised when the negative grows. But if you give attention to the positive, then don't be surprised when the positive grows. If you know that God can do everything but fail, then you ought to get ready for your miracle. You ought to get ready for your breakthrough. You ought to get ready for your deliverance. But if you believe that God cannot do it, then don't be surprised when God doesn't do it. Because we attune to that which with which we surround ourselves. And so attunement is about regulation. It is about frequency. It is about getting on the same wavelength. And you cannot get on the same wavelength with your brother and sister horizontally if you are not on the same wavelength as your God vertically. Moses proves this to me. And he says in verse number 5, the Bible says, so Moses brought, they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle, and all, not some, but all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. You understand what's going on here? The people of God came together. They drew nigh unto each other, and they stood before God. And as they stood before God, the Bible goes on to say in verse number 6, then Moses says, this is what the Lord commanded you to do, to stand before God, to get on the same wavelength as God. And the Bible says that when you are on the same wavelength of God, then and only then will the glory of the Lord come down into your situation. It intimates to me or suggests that if you are not attuned to God, then the glory of the Lord won't come down. It makes sense to me, because why would God send his glory into fragmentation? Why would God send his glory into separation? Why would God send his glory into people who are not on the same wavelength, or at least trying to get on the same wavelength as he is? But when you're trying to attune to God's frequency, I believe God honors the sincerity of your efforts, and he will send his glory into your situation. Here's my question. Do you really want the glory of the Lord? I don't know about you, but I made up in my mind that I cannot get to where I'm trying to get to if I don't have God's glory in my life. I cannot preach the sermons God wants me to preach if I don't have God's glory in my life. In order for me to get the glory, I got to be attuned, not only with God, but that attunement needs to then translate horizontally with my brothers and my sisters. And I would say to us, in order for us to get God's glory, Shiloh, we've got to be attuned with God's frequency. And the attunement that I see in the text is that the people came together and they stood before the Lord and they waited until the glory came down. Now, there's another factor into the glory coming down, and that's atonement. And if you go on further, I believe you will see the text bears this to be true. In verse number 7, the Bible says, and Moses said to Aaron, now that the people have come together and are waiting, here's the next thing I want you to do. Take the offerings that I sent you to get, and I want you to make offerings and make atonement for yourself and for the people. How do I make atonement? You've got to kill the sacrifice. Verse 8. Aaron therefore went to the altar, killed the calf, the sin offering he offered for himself. And then he took the blood of the calf and dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar. And the Bible says, and poured the blood at the base of the altar. Now, in order to understand atonement, here's what I was saying earlier. Atonement is not a legal word. It's not a clinical word. It's not a psychological word. It's not an anthropological word. It is a theological word. Atonement means to reconcile your sins before God. Only the priest in that day could make atonement for the sins of God's people. How do you make atonement? If I can use another word, atonement means to wash your sins away. In order for you to wash your sins away, the blood of the sacrifice had to be used. You don't get the point, do you? On first Sunday of July in 2017, I've stopped by to tell you that the same blood that is represented on this table is the same blood that Aaron sacrificed. It represents the same theological presupposition. No blood, no atonement. That when you have the blood, God will look beyond your faults and see your needs. I know I have a witness up in here today that somebody knows about the blood. I'm talking about the blood that reaches to the highest mountain. I'm talking about the blood that flows through the lowest valley. I'm talking about the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Does anybody have the blood? I'm talking about the blood that was put on the mantle that caused the death angel to skip on over. But maybe you don't know that. I'm talking about Calvary, when Jesus was hung, bled and died, his blood came streaming down, and it was that blood that covers me. It is that blood that shields me. Does anybody have the blood over their lives?
Does anybody have the blood over your family? Does anybody have the blood over your children? Does anybody have the blood over your church? Does anybody have the blood? The blood! The blood! The blood makes atonement. Jesus died, but it was his blood that was needed to make ultimate atonement. Why the blood? Because it is in the blood that flows life. Come on, somebody. It is in the platelets that carries the oxygen through your capillaries, into your veins, into your arteries, that causes you to breathe. It's the blood that gives you strength from day to day. That's why the Jews, listen to me, that's why the Jews say that when you kill an animal and you eat your supper, they don't have any blood in their meat, because they believe that to eat the blood is to disrespect the life that God put into the animal. You go to a Jewish kosher restaurant and you say, can I get my steak medium well? They're going to escort you out the establishment. All joking aside, they drain the blood because they believe that it is the blood through which life flows. So then it is no coincidence that what God tells Moses to tell Aaron is that when you kill the animal, take out his kidney. Why the kidney? Because the kidney purifies the blood. Right? Why do we need dialysis? Because our kidneys are not able to function and purify the blood. And if the blood is not purified, your body will become poisoned. That's why some people spend 3 and 4 hours hooked up to a dialysis machine. Why? To clean their blood and to pump it back into their bodies. Because if your blood is dirty, your blood is contaminated. If your blood is contaminated, your blood will poison the other organs and your body will shut down. The blood. And Moses tells Aaron to drain the blood from the animal. Take out his kidneys and his entrails. Put them on the altar. But with the blood, sprinkle it on the horns of the altar, which is the Ark of the Covenant. Come on, somebody. Because it is in that Ark that the people, even before, this is before the ark, let me help myself. It is the altar that represents the things of God. And as they are carrying that ark from place to place, it is that altar that represents where God meets his people. And the priest is supposed to take the blood and sprinkle some of the blood around the altar and say, Lord, forgive them of their sins. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I've got a high priest who only died one time. They don't have to keep killing animals. They don't have to keep killing goats. Jesus died, shed his blood, and sprinkled it around the altar and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I'm so glad that I've got my high priest that shed his blood, Does anybody understand that Jesus shed his blood that you and I might have everlasting life? With atonement. If I can say it this way, Cain, at one mint. If you break up the word atonement into three syllables, at one mint, it means that now that my sins have been washed away, I am now at one with God. It solidifies that I'm on his frequency. God doesn't want to deal with unholy things, and God doesn't want to deal with unholy people. Can I help somebody today? In order for you to get on God's frequency, you've got to have your mind mentally attuned with him. But you've got to have your spirit washed in the blood. I'm so glad today that my soul has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Here's my last point. I'll go to my seat. Attunement, atonement leads me to astonishment. Why do I say that? Because look at what happens in verse 22, 23, and 24. Once Aaron sprinkled the blood around and interceded on behalf of the people, once they stood before God and they got on the same wavelength, attunement, and once Aaron did his spiritual work of cleansing the sins of the people, atonement, the Bible says then something else happened. It says in verse 22, then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people and blessed them and came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering. And 23 says, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle. And when they came out, they begin to bless the people. Then and only then did the glory of the Lord appear to all the people. And the Bible says that the glory of the Lord was represented by the fire that came down and consumed what was on the altar. If I can just make it this plain for you, that once you are attuned with God, and once you are at one with God, God requires you to sacrifice those things which are holding you down and holding you back, and to put them on the altar of sacrifice. Can I help someone today? That you now have to make your own offering, and you need to say to God, Lord, I'm not going to try to fight this battle by myself. I'm going to put it on the altar. I'm not going to talk about my enemies. I'm going to put them on the altar. I'm not going to worry about all my trials and my tribulations. I'm going to put them on the altar. And when you put them on the altar, and when you step back and you begin to bless the Lord, the Bible says that the fire of the Lord will come down and consume that stuff which you put on the altar. I don't know about you, but I've come to the conclusion that when God fights my battles, he does it better than I ever could. When God deals with my enemies, he does it better than I ever could. When God moves my mountains, he does it better than I ever could. When God opens the door, he does it better than I ever could. Then all I've got to do is fall on my knees, lift up my head, and shout the shout of victory. I need somebody who don't mind shouting to the Lord. I need somebody who don't mind giving God a praise. I need somebody who don't mind shouting hallelujah. I need somebody who don't mind jumping up and down. I need somebody who don't mind giving God glory, giving God honor. giving God praise. Open up your mouth. Shout unto the Lord. The Bible says that when the fire came down and all the people saw the fire, they began to shout and they fell on their faces. I know I'm in a Baptist church, but I need to have a Pentecostal experience. Every now and again, you need to fall out and shout unto the Lord. When God opens your door, when God moves your mountain, when God builds your bridge, when God heals your body, you need to fall out, fall out, fall out. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. 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 They fell out. They fell out. They shouted and they fell out. And I just hope someone here today understands, don't hold back on God. Because when God's glory comes into your life, it will be like a refiner's fire. And when the fire burns, you just say, burn, baby, burn. Can I have somebody say it with me? Burn, baby, burn. But I don't want you to disrespect the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost ain't your baby. I want you to say, burn, Spirit, burn. Burn, Spirit, burn. Burn, Spirit, burn. Burn, Spirit, burn. God is ready to consume some things in your life. God wants to consume. If I can make it this plain, He will consume what you put on the altar. But He will not make you put anything on the altar. You've got to put it on there yourself. But when you put it on there, can I help you? When you put it on there, He will consume what you put on the altar. My question to you today is, what have you put on the altar lately? Listen to me. What have you put on the altar lately? Those backbiters and haters and whoever, don't you fight it. Put them on the altar. Put them on the altar. That diagnosis the doctor gave you, say, I reject that. I'm putting it on the altar. And when the fire of God, I don't know when it happens and how it happens, but I know it does happen. The fire will come down and consume what is on the altar. That is what I take from this text. That when the fire came down and the glory of the Lord appeared, the people began to shout and they fell on their faces, because that which was on the altar was gone, y'all. Listen, there's some stories I'm listening to in our congregation today. One family in particular, the doctor have told this family that their loved one was having a heart attack in the EMT and was about to die. But when the loved one got to the hospital, the surgeon said, I can't find any trace of a heart attack. The mind is clear. No blockages in the heart. I don't know. And the family said, you don't have to know. Because the glory of the Lord came down and consumed what I put on the altar. And I believe that God would do that for us today. What are you putting on the altar? And do you believe that God will consume it with his fire? I'm foolish enough to believe that. And I hope you are too. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a praise offering in this place. Deacons and deaconess clergy, help me extend an invitation to Christian discipleship. I want everyone just to pray with me for a minute. Thank God for his word. Let's pray. Father, it is my sincere prayer that you would touch someone in the sanctuary who needed to hear this word today. I don't know who they are and what they've been through, but I just believe, God, that someone needed to hear this word today. Because they are battling something heavy, too great for themselves. But Lord, when they put it on the altar, your word declares that your fire will come down and consume. And we believe it's the Holy Ghost fire. So right now, Lord, I simply ask that you would move in someone's life. Cause them to come out of the seat. Give us their hand and give you their heart, oh God. Whatever might be blocking them, whatever might be stopping them, I pray right now, Lord, that you would help them to move. Take that first step. Give us their hand and give you their heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe your word, Lord. And we take you at your word. So have your way right now in someone's life. Touch everyone. Save someone. In Jesus' name. Let the people say amen. Come on, choir. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Anybody here today? Look at God today. Look at God today.